Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Congregation, you will sing Psalter 292, verses 1 and 5. Psalter 292, verses 1 and 5. Praise the Lord, for He is good, for His mercies ever sure from eternity have stood. Verse 1 and 5 from Psalter 292. This afternoon from the Word of God, from Psalm 146. We'll read Psalm 146. Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth. In that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment from the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign for ever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. We will confess our faith, first of all, with the words of the Apostles' Creed, and then with the words of the Canons of Dort, Head 3, Article 1, which you can find in the back of your Psalter, page 106. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. Let us call upon the name of the Lord in prayer. Faithful Lord God, with a psalm we praise thee. While we have any being, we praise thy name, and we lift up thy name, O Lord. Ever blessed art thou, glorious, majestic, holy. And yet, Lord, thou hast ordained to be praised even by the lips of sucklings. Lord, thou hast ordained praise from the children of men, that they should bless thee and praise thy name while they live. And so, Lord, we come to lift up thy name, to plead upon thy name, as thou art the God of the covenant, who in thy faithfulness hast yet again gathered us in thy house, because thou art not yet done with us, O Lord, because thy patience has not yet come to an end, thy mercies have not yet stopped, and therefore, O Lord, thou hast called us once again in thy house to come together, to worship thee, to sing thy praises, to make our petitions, to render thee thanks for all thy benefits and blessings bestowed upon us, and to hear thy word, Lord, which teacheth us the way of salvation, the ways of life. Lord, we thank thee for thy faithfulness, especially when it contrasts our unfaithfulness, even our lack of praising thee as we should. Lord, as we have confessed together with these words of our confession, Lord, how beautiful thou hast made men, and how deep we are fallen away from thee, how we have abused the gifts given to us, how we have reversed them into the power to rebel against thee instead of serving thee. O Lord, forgive us of doing this. Forgive us of living this out daily, showing our rebellious heart in so many ways. And Lord, even when thou hast worked thy grace in our hearts, we experience daily how hard it is to not rebel, to not be the king, but to be the subject of the king, to not reign and rule our lives ourselves, but to submit to thy reigning and ruling. Lord, we ask of thee, wilt thou glorify thyself in making us obedient children, obedient subjects of the king, that willingly and obediently follow thee. Lord, we pray thee this day, not only for our church as we have gathered here this afternoon, but also for the church as the broader body of Christ, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints. Lord, we pray for other congregations from our denomination. We pray thee, Lord, that in each and every congregation thy name may be lifted up today and glorified. Wilt thou bless every pastor and consistory in overseeing the church? We pray for our consistory, Lord. Wilt thou go before them and wilt thou enlighten them and teach them how they, in their turn, in return, can teach the congregation. Lord, we pray thee that in every church also there may be a great desire to not only reach out among ourselves, but also outside of ourselves. Lord, so many are lost. So many die without ever hearing the name of Jesus Christ. Not only in faraway places, Lord, but also here in this country and in the cities where we live. Lord, make us a people that is zealous for thy gospel, to preach it in places where it is not heard anymore. May our lives be, Lord, as people who are put as a candle on the candlestick and not under a bushel. Lord, we beseech of thee to bless us as a denomination in all the efforts that we make for different things, for the education of students in the seminary. Wilt thou bless the building of the new seminary, and wilt thou use it, Lord, to instruct many more to labor not only here in North America, but also abroad, to send out missionaries to different countries, teachers and preachers of thy gospel. We pray thee, Lord, also for the outreach and mission work that is done. Wilt thou bless it, Lord, and wilt thou grant that many fruits may be seen. We pray thee for Yaleville, Arkansas outreach, as they have received in the past week their own pastor. Lord, wilt thou bless him and the church as well. And may thy word, Lord, through his labors, go forth in that area and that many more may be gathered into thy church to worship thee. Lord, we pray thee, wilt thou prosper that work. We also give thee thanks, Lord, for the graduation of students in the John Calvin Seminary in Bali. Lord, we pray for these 15 men who have graduated from the seminary. Wilt thou thyself extend calls to them? Wilt thou guide and teach them where to go, where to labor in thy vineyard in Indonesia? Lord, wilt thou make them able proclaimers of thy gospel, even in the midst of much opposition from people from other faiths, Muslims and Hinduism. And we pray thee, Lord, that also Reverend Nolan, other laborers there, and we at home may rejoice in thy grace when we see the fruit on the labors. Lord, we pray thee for thy church worldwide. Lord, there is so much going on, so much persecution. So many of thy children, Lord, suffer hardship physically, mentally. And we pray thee, Lord, to uphold them and to make them, even in the midst of that, witnesses of thy grace. Oh Lord, we pray thee, make them strong. Wilt thou purge thy church also through it from all those that do not believe thee with their heart. And may we too, Lord, be humbled, and may we realize that thou hast privileged us above so many people worshipping yet in a building, worshipping yet in freeness, freedom and liberty. Lord, we pray thee that we would not abuse this liberty, but that we would use it for the cause of thy kingdom. Lord, we pray for Christians in Iraq, as again bombings have hung place there in this weekend, and there is enmity against Christians and churches, and the people there want to remove all the reminders of Christianity from the street. We pray thee, Lord, for those who suffer there, particularly in this new time of their country. And Lord, wilt thou yet give that thy children may be faithful and may be witnesses of thy gospel, even to their enemies. Lord, we pray thee for our country as well. We pray thee that thou wilt yet keep us, Lord, from new harm, new danger from terrorism. And Lord, that the internal struggles for the election, that they will not hinder us, Lord, as a country to prevent us from attacks, from terrorism. Lord, that we may be focused and stay focused on the calling wherewith thou hast called us as Christians to pray for our government. And wilt thou thyself yet be merciful to us and not leave us to the sins that we are indulging ourselves into. Lord, we pray thee, wilt thou stand the tide yet of sins that become more and more legalized. Lord, we pray thee that thou wouldst yet preserve thy church the freedom and give it the freedom that it needs, that we may use any avenue to testify of thy word and to be in this country as thy witnesses, and to lift up thy word and its authority and its power, but not only, Lord, in ethical and moral decisions, but that we may show the people what is the heart of thy word, that they will not reject thy word and its teachings, but Lord, that they do reject thy Son in fact, that we may teach them, Lord, that in him alone is life, that in him alone is happiness. O Lord, wilt thou yet restrain the evil one from getting the upper hand in this country and in this world. Lord, we know that this world in itself is not getting much better, because thou hast spoken about that, even thou, Lord Jesus, and we know it. May we be prepared, Lord, for thy return, as we hear thy footsteps in so many signs and tokens. We pray thee, Lord, may we be prepared to meet thee. And even more than that, Lord, may we look forward for that day, that we are not so focused on today and not so focused on our lives as we have it, but that we may become more focused on Thee, Lord Jesus, and desire to meet Thee. Oh Lord, prepare each and every one of us, our children, our relatives. Wilt Thou yet work graciously among us? Lord, we come before Thee, waiting for Thee to speak, waiting for Thy word to be opened for us. Open our hearts, Lord. Make us attentive. Make us ready to hear, ready to submit, ready to rejoice with Thee, to rejoice with Thy word and those whom Thou hast inspired. Make us ready to praise Thy name, to lift up the name of our Savior, to be happy indeed, Lord, in Thee, with the help and hope Thou hast provided. Lord, may the end of this day be a rejoicing in Thee. Lord, may our hearts be lifted up, and that we arise from above all our worries and all our concerns and busyness, and that our voices and hearts together may ascend to Thee, O Lord, as Thou art worthy of all our praise, all our adoration, our devotion. Lord, we pray Thee that we may sing Thy praises yet today, that we may glorify Thee and rejoice in it. Lord, we pray Thee, do Thy work in our midst. Lord, we pray Thee also for Pastor Lipsy and his family. When he is traveling, wilt Thou bless, Lord, the time of vacation for him and his family, and that they may come home restored and refreshed, and that they may desire to take upon them and He upon him the work in Thy vineyard. Lord, so we pray Thee, wilt Thou bless us wherever we go? Wilt Thou bless us from the Lord Jesus Christ? In His name we pray. Amen. Let us sing now all the verses of Psalter 400. Hallelujah, praise Jehovah, O my soul, Jehovah, praise. All seven verses of Psalter 400, but first your offerings will be taken. Dear congregation, I'm afraid we don't praise God enough. I'm not talking about praise of other people, how they praise the Lord, wrong and right. But I'm talking about us. We don't praise the Lord enough. Did you ever notice how the book of Psalms, the book of the Songs of Israel, how it is closed? All the Psalms from 145 until 150, they all begin and are full of the praise of the name of the Lord. Like in Psalm 145, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Or Psalm 147, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant and praise is comely. We don't praise the Lord enough. But why is this? The psalm that we will study tonight, Psalm 146, gives us the answer to that question. We don't praise the Lord enough because we don't experience the happiness enough that is the basis for the praise of the name of the Lord. In our text for this afternoon, we read in Psalm 146, verse 5, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. That's the secret why this psalm can start with this call to praise the name of the Lord. Because the psalmist is happy. Happy because the God of Jacob, he knows to be the God of his help and his hope. So with the help of the Lord, we will see this afternoon, our theme, true happiness, is to know the God of Jacob. First of all, we will see what this happiness is. Secondly, how this happiness is grounded in help. And thirdly, how this happiness is enjoyed in hope. Happiness, the true happiness, is to know the God of Jacob. You see, in our psalm, we have a sharp contrast between the verses 4 and 5. Maybe you noticed that when we read it together. Verse 4, it says, about man, his breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, to the dust. And in that very day, his thoughts perish. And the first word in verse 5 is, happy, perish, happy. You see, happiness of the psalmist, happiness of the believer, is not grounded in men. And is not grounded in just a nice situation of man's life. His thoughts perish, that's man. But then, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. True happiness comes from God. The secret for true happiness lies in knowing this God. What is true happiness? Well, many places in the Bible we read of this word happiness, and often it is translated either as blessed or happy. The same Hebrew word often is translated either as blessed or happy. So these words are really close together. For example, we read in Psalm 33, verse 12. Psalm 33, verse 12. Blessed, happy is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. And often the Bible speaks that way about happiness for the people of God in general terms. So there is a happiness already in belonging to the people of God as we are here together this afternoon, as we belong to the church and are baptized with the seal of the covenant of the Lord. There is already a happiness in being here and being raised in a Christian family and hearing the word of God from day to day and from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. But there is more, congregation, to this happiness in general. True happiness we find, for example, in Psalm 32, verse 1. Psalm 32, verse 1 says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. That is the true happiness that David is speaking about, that I know that my sin is forgiven, that they are covered in the face of a holy and righteous God. Happy are you who know this kindness of God, this mercy of God in even forgiving your sins. To be happy, it means that you know the joy that forgiveness of sin gives. Our sin is like David says, it depresses us. It holds us down. It makes us unhappy. But forgiveness of sin has the opposite result. When we may believe that the Lord forgives us our sin, that feeling is best described as a blessedness, as a happiness. To know that which is in between us and the Lord, our sin, is removed out of the way. To know that we may look to the face of God the Father in Jesus Christ, and that He is not any longer looking down upon us in anger, but in mercy and in love. This experience, the congregation, is to be happy. To know that God deals with us in Jesus Christ, that we don't get what we deserve, but that we receive what He deserved in our place. True happiness is to know the kindness of God towards us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know, the congregation, this type of happiness? We often use this word so different from this use of the word. We talk about feeling happy and being happy. And it's one of these questions that you so easily lie about. Are you feeling okay? Are you happy? And you know that the best and easiest answer is just to confirm that and to say that you are happy. But that is not the kind of happiness that the psalm is speaking about. There's no cheap happiness, no good feelings about yourselves, of just some good feelings about the situation where you are in. True happiness has to do with our true misery, with our true unhappiness. True happiness takes the place of this deep unhappiness that we experience by nature. This unhappiness of being far away from God. Unhappiness of being in having lost the favor of God. That is unhappiness. But now this true happiness comes in the place of this. True happiness has to do, who am I over against the Holy Lord? How does the Lord look upon me? How are His feelings towards me? Is it a feeling of love, of favor, of grace? Or is He much displeased with me in the way I live? There you have the contrast between happiness and unhappiness. We often don't feel happy in this true sense of the word. And therefore we are not up to sing the praise of God. We feel down and depressed. And we are prone to just go on in that situation and live on. And how can we change it? And how can we sing the praises of God in that situation? Congregation, the reason to praise God, being happy again, does not come from us. That does not come from our life. There is much reason in our life whereby we can be unhappy indeed. And you, at this moment, think about yourself and hear these words about happiness and praising the Lord. I'm sure you have your own list of objections, your own list of difficulties, why you are excused to praise the Lord. Maybe the situation within your family is not that you praise the Lord. Maybe you are having difficulties at your work. Maybe you have to face changes in your life that you don't like. Or one of your family members you see is not living the way he or she should. Maybe you worry about the church or Christianity in general. You worry about the situation of this world. And there is reason indeed to worry, congregation. And yet, that's not the way to go to find our happiness. And that is not the way to be excused from happiness either. True happiness does not ignore our real life situation. That's our fault. We often first want our situation to be okay and our life to go okay, and after that we will be praising the Lord again and giving our lives unto the praise of His name. Because see, true happiness does not ignore the difficulties of our life. We are not excused to praise the Lord. We have to seek this Lord whom we are to praise to become happy again. And therefore, like our psalm says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. There you find the ground for happiness. It is grounded in help. The help of the God of Jacob. You see, when you feel forsaken and when you feel helpless, that's number one reason to not be happy and not praise the Lord. But don't despair, because happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. Happiness is not because of a nice situation in our life. There is happiness despite of all the difficulties because of who God is. In the Bible, boys and girls, you often read about the Lord, and then it says the God of Abraham, for example, or the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In the Psalms, we often read about the God of Jacob. And why? Why would the Lord be called the God of Jacob? Why not the God of Abraham? The God of Isaac? What do you think? Well, when you think about it, if you think about these men, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I would ask you, who is your favorite of these three? I don't think many of you would choose Jacob, do you? Because who was Jacob? Wasn't that that man who lied against his father, his blind old father, and later again to his father-in-law? You would rather choose Abraham, a man of much faith, or Isaac, who, even when he was a boy, willingly lay down on the altar. But Jacob? This liar? But you see, that's why the Lord has chosen to put this in this text. Happy is he that hath the God, not of Abraham or Isaac, but of Jacob for his help. You know, the history of Jacob and how the Lord deals with him and how the Lord works through him shows us the one-sided love of God. We see very clearly in this history that it is not because of his faith. It is not about his virtues. No, it is a man who even lied to his old blind father at this crucial point of life. And yet, God wants to be referred to himself as the God of Jacob. It shows us the sovereignty of God as he chose Jacob over Esau. It shows us the power of God's grace to work in a man and with a man as Jacob to change his life and to use him for his purposes. You see, that's the ground for our happiness. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help. God is willing to be the God of Jacob, to be the help for Jacob. There is no worthiness in us, dear congregation, why the Lord would be moved to be our help. There's nothing in us, not even our desperate, fallen situation in itself, that would move the Lord to help us. It's God Himself. It is His love, His choosing, His election to look after people, to search for them and to search them out and to reach them with His Word, to offer them salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, from the God of Jacob, we see a flood of free and sovereign love flowing through the history. This God is willing to be Jacob's God. You see, this is to encourage you and me today to call upon this God for help. Because that's, of course, your objection. You would say, well, can he be my God? Would he be to my help? Yes, indeed, because the Lord is called the God of Jacob, even of Jacob. Would he not be willing to be your God if he wants to be called the God of Jacob? What an encouragement, congregation, to plead the promises of God, to plead the faithfulness of God, even when you are confronted with your own unfaithfulness, and you see that you lie and you break your promises in your life, even to the Lord. When you promise the Lord to change your life, to improve your life, to stop doing certain sins, it becomes lies, congregation, when we do again sin and when we again go the wrong way. But the Lord even wants to be called the God of Jacob, the God of a liar, the God of a deceiver. God remains faithful to Jacob, who was not faithful to the Lord, nor to his father. You see, in our unhappiness, in our difficulties in our life, in times of sickness, of sorrow, how real it can be, congregation, this feeling of unhappiness that falls upon you. And where do you go? Well, the question is not whether there is help to provide in your need. The question is, do you seek God's help when you need it? The question is not, will he receive me because he received Jacob? The question is, do you seek the help of God? Do you seek help at the right place? You see, that's what our psalm also puts before us when we read through the verses 6 through 9. It's one long list of examples of the help of the Lord. We read it in verse 7. He executeth judgment for the oppressed. He gives food to the hungry. He looseth the prisoners. You see, all these examples that are taken in this psalm are real life examples of the time of the Old Testament. And in this time, the Lord showed his care, particularly in these ways. Of course, there are many other ways that the Lord shows his care. But you see, what's the point? These groups, as they are listed here, were the groups that needed the special help and care and protection of the Lord. And it is even revealing into us, congregation, that the Lord is the God of the covenant. Because within the covenant that God had made with his people, within the community that he made, his laws were to protect the oppressed ones, the widows, the widowers, the orphans, those who didn't have someone else to come up for them, to stand up for them in a cause of, in a case of justice, or in a case of abuse, or in a case of misuse. And the Lord took care of these people. He took care of these, the weaker ones in the society of Israel's days. And so it shows to us how the Lord helps in a very practical way. We read in verse 8, the Lord, he opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord raises them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the way of the wicked he turneth upside down. You see, the picture that it gives to us is a God who knows exactly who needs his help. And he is able to provide for your and my every need. Congregation, there is not a situation in our life that the Lord cannot provide help. There's not a situation in our life that we can say, well, now this unhappiness can't be removed. Now this feeling of sadness and depression can ever be removed. No, there is help in the Lord God Almighty, in the God of the covenant, who is always faithful to his word. The question is, do we plead his promises for this help? Do we go to this God of Jacob for help? Do we seek his help? Or are we too strong and too great to beg him for help? You see, the help of the Lord, the help the Lord provides, ultimately rests in the help that the Lord provided in giving his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God is here called the God of Jacob, a liar. Why can the Lord be faithful to us? Why can he keep his promises to us? Because of Jesus Christ, congregation. He did not lie. He did not lie even in the face of Caiaphas, when he with one lie could have saved his life, humanly speaking. Art thou the Son of God? The Lord Jesus could possibly have lied about this congregation to gain his own interests. Salvation would not have been possible. But because of him who did not lie, Jesus Christ, who made the true confession before Pilate, therefore the Lord provides help even for liars like you and me. You see, the help of God is grounded in Jesus Christ. He is the help God provides, not just help in the sense of some nice comfort or something that helps us only halfway through. No, the help that is provided in Jesus Christ is saving help, to save us from death, to save us from unhappiness, from the outer unhappiness in hell, and to give us the ultimate happiness of heaven. There is help provided in the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, congregation, again the question comes to you from this. Where do you put your trust? In the help that you can come up with? In the help maybe a family member can provide? Or do you put your trust in the God of Jacob? Verse 3 in our psalm, it says where we normally look for help. It says, as a warning, put not your trust in princes, nor in the son of man, in whom there is no help. You see, we need this admonition. We need to be warned not to put our trust in men with whom there is no help. Where do you put your trust? Whom do you expect to help you? To whom do you look for the help that you need? You see, the psalmist starts with calling us to praise the name of God. Praise ye the Lord. And again, praise ye the Lord, O my soul. And as long as we don't praise the Lord, we know there is something wrong with us. And it could well be that we are putting our trust in men. Maybe yourself. Maybe someone that you know, that you trust. But with men, there is no help. Doesn't mean, of course, that we don't have to help one another, congregation. That doesn't mean that we cannot help each other and call to do so. But ultimately, in the situation of life and death, what help can you receive from those who are even most near and dear to you? Which help can you provide for those in a time of life and death? With men, indeed, there is no help as it comes to who we are in the face of God, today and in the day of judgment. But with God, the God of Jacob, is help. Should we complain about our difficulties, our unhappiness? Should we even complain maybe about God and that He does not provide the help that we need? Is it not true, congregation, that we need to complain about ourselves? That we don't seek the help of God when we need it? There is enough in the Lord for our every need. Is it not that we don't like to ask for it? Is it not that we hesitate to bow down to the Lord and confess Him our weakness? Confess Him how we need Him? But with God there is abundant help. With God there is Not only help for today, but there is help for tomorrow. There is help for eternity, congregation. There is help even to relieve us from our distrust and to grant us the happiness that we need. When we consider the congregation, when we consider the help that God provides in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and we meditate upon that more, and we see how a perfect salvation He is providing, when we meditate upon His work, upon His love, upon His willingness to receive sinners and to strengthen those who have come to Him from day to day, from hour to hour, from minute to minute in the difficulties of our life, when we meditate upon Jesus Christ, God's help for sinners, there's almost too much reason to praise the Lord, isn't there? Isn't there enough reason, congregation, to lift up His name, to praise the Lord? Yes, again, praise the Lord, O my soul. Let us sing it with the psalmist. Lord, I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast set me free. Let us sing this from Psalter 78, all the stanzas. Psalter 78, all the stanzas. O Lord, Lord, I will praise Thy name, for Thou hast set me free, nor suffered foes to claim a triumph over me. All the verses of Psalter 78. Congregation, we have seen that in order to praise the Lord as the psalmists do, in order to be happy, we have to know this God of Jacob in whom is provided all the help that we need. And yet, in our daily life, we often encounter another problem. Maybe you say, well, that's all right. I can feel happy for this day, because the Lord has helped me today again. But what about tomorrow? And what about the future? And when you start thinking about that, then again your happiness disappears. Yes, there is help for today, but what about the next day? What about the future of my children? What about the future of the church, of this world? The psalm says, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Not only is happiness grounded in the help that the Lord gives today, but this happiness is also enjoyed in hope. Because there is hope for tomorrow, we don't let the difficulties and concerns for tomorrow take away the happiness of today. So you see, help is the ground to be happy, but hope is the way in which the manner in which we are happy, because our hope is in the Lord our God. You see, God is referred to as the God of Jacob, the faithful one, ever faithful. The Lord, his God. You see, the secret is that this God of Jacob becomes my God, becomes your God. First, it says, speaks about the God of Jacob. It refers to him as Jacob's God. But then later it says, whose hope is in the Lord, his God. And it doesn't only mean Jacob's God, but also him who is happy. He who received this hope. His God. You see, congregation, the faithfulness of the Lord God is the secret to be happy, to have this hope, to trust that the Lord will take care of the future also. His faithfulness is new every morning. In the very blessings that we receive at the breakfast table, in strength that we enjoy, in the healthness, even though the degree may differ, the Lord is faithful to us, even in all these blessings. We see that in our psalm. We didn't read it yet, but verse 10 it says, the Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord. There you have it again. Praise ye the Lord. Because God reigns forever. Because the Lord is faithful forever to his own word. And since God reigns forever, since God will be the same God every day, therefore there is hope for the future. You see, in our darkness, the light comes from God, from his face that shines upon us, from his care for today and tomorrow, because God is God, because he is faithful to his word, because he never changes. Therefore, there can be hope. You see, when we talk about hope, we have to realize that there are two different aspects to this. One side, hope is a gift that comes from God. Something we cannot make. It comes from God. It flows from who he is to his people, that we can have hope. But that's not all there is, congregation. Hope also is an aspect of faith. We cannot only sit back and wait to receive this kind of hope. No, hoping is actively and consciously putting our trust in God for today and the next days. Hope is a part of faith. Trusting consciously, removing our trust from men and from our own strength and our own possibilities and putting it in the Lord God. So, he is the cause of our hope. There's only hope because he is who he is. Otherwise, we couldn't hope in him. But at the same time, we do have to expect it from him. We do have to flee to him. We do have to desire him to bless us. Hope is an action of faith. Because we put our trust in God, who is faithful, therefore we receive hope. How can we do that? Well, we do it by looking to God for hope and for help. We do it by pleading the promises of God, because they testify of God's faithfulness. They are given to us in his very word, that we may plead them every new morning. Whatever difficulty we encounter, we may go back to the word of God and plead his promises of help. We put our trust and hope in God by expecting Him to take care of our life instead of all the time securing our own care about our own life. We hope in God also by losing hope in ourselves. Don't hope in yourself. Don't think you can stand the days to come. Maybe it lasts for a while. Maybe it lasts in the eyes of men. But ultimately, you cannot help yourself. You in yourself, I in myself, am not a source of any hope whatsoever for the days to come. We put our hope in God by searching the scriptures that testify of Him. Throughout the Bible, when we read of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it is His faithfulness, His everlasting faithfulness. Why is it in the scriptures? Not only to talk about the lives of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, it is in the scriptures to encourage you and me to do the same as they did. Despite who they are, to put their trust in God and God alone. You say, this is the way in which God is pleased to revive our hope, or to revive our feelings of happiness. This is the way by our searching the scriptures and pleading His promises and praying for His Spirit to come. That is the way in which we will receive new hope every morning. Can you say that, congregation, for yourself? This God of Jacob is my God. You see, that's the secret. To know, that means personally know the God of Jacob. Happy is He, but it also means happy is only he who hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord, his or her God. You see, outside of this God, outside of knowing this God personally, where can we find happiness? Where can we find help? Where can we find hope? How can we ever praise God by not knowing Him? The congregation, this is not to discourage you, not to excuse you from praising the name of God. The Lord, yet wants to adopt sons and daughters to praise His name, to sing His glory. By nature, we cannot say this anymore, that God is our God in the personal sense of the word. He is our God indeed, but He is the God from whom we have fallen away. But because of Jesus Christ, as you have heard this morning, God is still willing to adopt sons and daughters to His children. People like Jacob, liars. People who are not faithful. People who are not consistent in their promises and good ideas and all the things that they want to do, even in religious aspects. Maybe you think, well, I should read the Bible more and I shall pray more consistently every day. We break our promises every time, and yet the Lord wants to receive even liars as Jacob. Liars, sinners like Jacob, like you, like me. How is that possible, congregation? How can such bastard sons as we are walked away from the face of God, become again sons and daughters of God? God is willing to accept daughters and sons into new communion with Him because of Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, who became like a bastard son. Lord Jesus Christ, He became like a bastard son when He was crucified, when He was thrown out of the communion of the Father, when He didn't experience help from His Father, when He was delivered unto the cross, when He called upon His Father and did not get any answer. That's the only time that someone asked truly for the help of God and didn't receive it. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God Himself, being treated as a son that doesn't belong in His Father's home, rejected from heaven, expelled from the earth, as if he wasn't worthy the name of Son of God. He became congregation, what we are by nature. He became one who was expelled from his Father's house, as we are indeed. He was willing to take that position. He was willing to go that way. Why? Out of love, congregation. Out of desire to save sinners. Out of a desire to win many more sons and daughters for his Father's home. He prepared many mansions. He prepared a place for many more sons and daughters to live with God forever. That's why sons and daughters that have walked away from home can yet return to God in his favor. Because of him who hung on the cross, forsaken of God his own Father, so that we who have all the right to be forever forsaken by God, return into the favor of God and to be always remembered by God. Congregation, are you, like Jacob, a child of God? Can you say, he is my God? You need to know the answer, congregation. Not only in order to be happy today and tomorrow. Not only to receive some help along the way. You need to know the answer for the day of days. Will you be forever outside of the kingdom of God? Have you always stayed outside of the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you never come to beg for this help that God provides in his only Son? What else could God the Father do than to give his only begotten Son all he has for the salvation of sinners? Well, he gave also his Holy Spirit, and he yet works today. He yet works today in lives of many among us, those who we know, but also outside of us in this world. The Holy Spirit yet works among us. He brings sons and daughters home. Don't resist the Spirit's working. Don't resist him asking you to come, him demanding you to come. Don't put your trust in yourself. Don't put your trust in your own help. Don't hope in yourself. But at the same time, dear congregation, as we do come to the Lord for help, as we do put our trust in the Lord and receive hope for tomorrow, don't you experience time and again that the Lord indeed is our help and is our hope in whatever situation you might be, in your affliction, in your struggle with indwelling sin that remains so powerful within, in your feelings of helplessness and hopelessness. At times, they seem to overwhelm us as a wave of the ocean. Look unto Jesus. He did not go under in the wrath of his Father. He remained faithful to his Father's work. He not only died at the cross, he rose again from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. And therefore Jesus has gone into the heaven as the anchor of our hope, as the Hebrew writer says. Therefore, be both sure and steadfast in Jesus. He entered the heavenly, most holy place. And because he is there to provide for our hope. Congregation, do you see how all things are related to each other? How you come short of the command to praise the Lord because you don't feel happy, and you don't feel happy because you don't seek for the help that is in the Lord. The Lord calls us today to praise Him. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord. How? Because we by faith do receive the help that we need. By faith we do hope in the Lord. And yet, this hope and this help and our happiness, it does not come from our hearts. It doesn't grow on our soil. It comes from the Lord. It is the God of Jacob. Therefore, focus on this God of Jacob. Search His word. Plead His promises. Seek His face. And you will receive help. And you will receive the hope that you need. And you will be experiencing the happiness that comes from God. And therefore, you will praise His name now and forevermore. Amen. Almighty Lord, we lift up our voice and our hearts unto Thee to praise Thy name. Oh, we praise Thee, O Lord, for Thy goodness and for Thy mercy is everlasting. Lord, we cannot comprehend Thee. We cannot understand Thee fully. We cannot understand how Thou art righteous and yet merciful, how Thou art just and yet full of loving kindness. We can only begin to understand some of it when we look unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we are humbled by the grace that Thou hast provided for sinners. Lord, we are even more humbled when we realize that we so often do not seek the grace that we need, do not seek the help that we need, and therefore just live on in our own struggles, in our own difficulties and worrying. O Lord, we pray Thee, lift Thou up our eyes unto Thee. Come, blessed Spirit of God, the Father and the Son, lift up our hearts and our eyes unto Thee. Lord, that we would not keep our eyes from Thee, but keep our eyes on Thee. O Lord Jesus, may we be encouraged to seek Thee because of who Thou art. Oh, we pray, Lord, work among us yet today. Send Thy Spirit. Work mightily in our midst. Convict us, Lord, of our unbelief. Convict us, Lord, of our shortcomings also in the area of praising Thy name. Lord, we pray Thee, we beseech of Thee, send forth Thy Holy Spirit. That, Lord, the fruit of this day may be that we do praise Thy name, that we may be for the first time ever in our lives really praise Thy name, because we have really seen something of who Thou art in Thy Son towards us. And Lord, may Thy people here and throughout the world praise Thee more in uprightness of heart. May we praise Thee, Lord, because Thou art so worthy to receive all praise, all honor. Lord, we pray that we would desire for that day that we would praise Thee perfectly without end. Oh Lord, we look forward for that day that all those who have loved Thee here on earth will love Thee forevermore and sing Thy praises without imperfection, without sin, without wrong intentions. Lord, we look forward for Thy return, and yet we pray Thee, wilt Thou work among those who are not yet converted? Prepare us, Lord, to meet Thee, all of us. Lord, we thank Thee for Thy help also in this day. We thank Thee for Thy presence in Thy house, and may we be instructed to live as Thou hast commanded us to live. Lord, that other people may hear our praise of Thy name and may come and sing with us the praises of our God. Lord, take away all the sin that cleaves to us. Wilt Thou sanctify Thy word. May it go with us throughout this week. Give all of us, Lord, trifling mercies wherever we go, maybe families on vacation that we don't know of, Lord, we pray, wilt thou keep us safe, and may the time of rest be used in thy grace to our well-being, but also to the salvation of others. Lord, bless thy church, bless thy word, and we bless thy name. In Jesus' name, amen. We will sing now Psalter 115, for the verses. Expands the heart for streams of living water, so longs my soul, O living God, for thee. All four verses of Psalter 115.